We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's what the Bible says about those who suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness and reject what God has done in creation. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the gospel and the way that God has provided for all men to be saved, and going to get into a lot of good things today. But welcome to Exploring the Word on this Wednesday. I'm Jeff Shambly in for Bert Harper, and joining me is Alex McFarland. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Jeff, and it's good to be with you in the book of Romans.
Yes.
And I want to say thank you again for graciously helping us and giving your wisdom and insights. And folks, we are going to continue in Romans today, but right now we have a special friend of Exploring the Word that we meet with periodically, Riley Wildman with the AFA Foundation. And Riley, it's good to have you. Thanks for making time to be with us.
Yes, Alex, thank you so much for having me on again this afternoon. And Jeff, thank you so much for filling in for Brother Bird. And it's always great to take a few minutes and be on with y'all to kind of talk about the foundation here at American Family Association.
Amen. Amen. You know, there's so many great things that this ministry does, and the Lord is using AFA in so many ways, in so many lives. And Riley, I hear about it. I'm very blessed because I'm on the road in a different church like every weekend, and literally everywhere I go, people come up to me and explain how God used AFA in their life and in their family. And you're with the foundation, and that excites me because the foundation enables people to do a lot for the gospel with what God has entrusted to them. So, Riley, if you would tell us about the foundation and what it does and what opportunity it represents for impact.
Yes, Alex, thank you. I'll be glad to kind of give your listeners a few kind of tools that we have, so to speak, in the foundation, where your listeners can visit our website and use those tools to continue on the mission and the ministry of AFA and AFR. And one of those that we're kind of, Alex and Jeff, pushing this month and going to continue to push the rest of the year is just strictly an IRA, an IRA straight over into a charitable gift annuity. And that is just a great tool that a lot of people don't know that we have, where you can be 70 and a half. You would have to be 70 and a half or over to fund an IRA straight over to a charitable gift annuity. Alex, you receive a full 100% tax deduction on that, and the listeners or the donor receives permanent income coming back to them for the rest of their lives. So that is just one of many ways. Again, that's an IRA straight over to a charitable gift annuity, or we just have a charitable gift annuity where you can have up to one or two lives that they set up to fund a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association, receive a partial tax deduction, and then at that time receive income. You can have up to one or two lives on the charitable gift annuity. So a lot of people, you know, think it can continue on to their spouse or their loved one, and then when they both pass away, anything left over is a gift back to American Family Association. So again, that is what they call a charitable gift annuity, is one of our most popular tools, as well as an IRA gift, like a 401k, so to speak, or an IRA, straight over to a charitable gift annuity. You, like I said, you have to be 70 and a half to fund that, and it can be up to Alex, $105,000 that they can gift to the ministry to receive a full 100% tax deduction. I'll also give y'all's listeners another tool that we have, and that is just an outright gift stock. A lot of people don't realize that you can give a stock donation to American Family Association, receive a full 100% tax deduction off of that, and a gift straight to the ministry, as well as doing a stock to fund a charitable gift annuity. So like I mentioned, we have several different things to fund a charitable gift annuity. You can just have an outright gift, outright stock donation, and you can do an IRA gift to a charitable gift annuity. So those are several tools that we have in the foundation that continue on to the mission and the ministry of AFA. And also another great tool, as well as what I was on Walker showed that earlier today, is a lot of people don't realize that you can leave AFA in your will. So there again, we don't know sometimes when, you know, people do that. I'll be going into the office, for example, tomorrow, and I'll have a on my desk, I'll have somebody, you know, just leave an AFA in their will that we did not even realize. It could be $50,000, $100,000, and that's just a blessing to our ministry that, you know, I didn't know, or the leadership did not know that we were going to be receiving. So that is just another great a great thing that, you know, that blesses the ministry of AFA and AFR, is leaving AFA in their will.
Amen. You know, Riley, Alex here, I've heard people use the phrase ROI, like return on investment. I've heard people say, oh, they wish they could go back 25 years and bought Microsoft when it first rolled out, or, you know, the ROI. But honestly, in terms of return on investment, people coming to Christ, people getting saved, families being strengthened, marriages being saved, young people learning about biblical worldview and America. I really don't know an ROI, anything as good as AFA, when people give and when people plan. And I've got a follow-up question here in a minute, Riley, but this is big-time spiritual ROI, isn't it?
Yeah, an IRA, and Alex, the IRA is just an individual retirement account. That's an IRA to fund a charitable gift annuity, is what that
yeah.
is. Yes, sir.
But I'm saying return on investment, you know, ROI, this is big time return on investment, isn't it?
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. It's a way for somebody to give a gift to the ministry, receive income, and when they pass away, they know that they're continuing on the mission and the ministry of American Family Association.
Riley, I wanted to jump in because a lot of this, and I've been to the website, afafoundation.net. I looked around. You have so much on the website, and honestly, my eyes glaze over when you begin to talk about all of these different kinds of things.
I know. It is a lot.
Do you have a staff that can just walk people through if they don't know where to begin with some of this? Do you take people gently and walk them through the process in the foundation?
We sure do. Okay. We sure do, Jeff. We are the team here at the AFA Foundation, Chelsea, I, and Jessica, we're just here to serve and to help people answer their questions. I mean, 15, 10 years ago when I started in the foundation, you know, I did not even know any of this, and I learned, and Dan Celia and Diane O'Neill coached me, directed me, guided me, along with the leadership team. And we're, you know, on the foundation, we're here to serve them and to be patient and guide them, like you said, Jeff, and direct them to further on the mission of AFA and to answer all their questions. You know, you mentioned going to afafoundation.net. There is on our website a calculator where people can run illustrations, but we'll be glad to run those illustrations, Jeff, over the phone, speak with them one-on-one, and just be here for them. And then if we see it necessary, if we need to, you know, set up a conference call with Rob West or Chelsea and I, we can do that as well. So we're just here to, you know, no question is, you know, too simple. We have all kinds of people call us all the time and ask us all different kinds of questions. So we're just here to help them along the way.
You know, Riley, on the website AFAFoundation.net, there's a free estate planning guide that you guys make available.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important because, you know, for a Christian, life is about stewardship. And I think sometimes people say, well, you know, we're not wealthy or something. But listen, first of all, I think most people have more of an estate than they might even realize. But that estate planning guide helps people be good stewards in planning for what God has entrusted to them, doesn't it?
Amen. Yes, sir, Alex. And they can, like you said, visit our website and print that off, or we can send that to them free of charge just for them visiting our website and sending that to them, so that way they can take it to maybe like a local attorney or somebody in their area that they can use. We, of course, are not attorneys, but we are here to help guide and direct people as the Lord calls.
Amen. Amen. Well, and you know, let me just say this too, folks. Using the tax code to legally, responsibly maximize on your charitable giving and your tithing and you know, giving as a Christian, I mean, that's wise. And I think, you know, working with folks like you all, Riley, and the AFA Foundation to maximize what the tax code allows. That's just good stewardship, isn't it?
Yes, sir. It sure is. And that has just now, Alex, been started. It's only been like a year or two that Walter Billingsley had told us about that. And that has taken into law and into effect in the past year or two. So a lot of people are not aware of that, that they can just take Alex money out of their 401k, out of their IRA account, roll that over into a charitable gift annuity, avoid paying the taxes on that as long as they are 70 and a half. So it's
wow.
Just a great tool out there that we have now to be able to
My
take
goodness.
Advantage of and to use.
Yeah. Riley, thank you for your work in the foundation. You certainly made it easy to understand, and thank you for your staff that's able to take people gently by the hand and walk them through this process. And, you know, we always want to be good stewards, and one day we'll give an account to the Lord for what we've done with what we have, and you all have made it easy for people to make sure the gospel continues through succeeding generations. So, Riley, once again, the website, afafoundation.net. Check it out. Riley, thanks for being with us today on Exploring the Word.
Thank you so much, Jeff, and thank you all so much, Alex, for having me on today.
God bless you, sister. Yes, God bless great. You.
Thank you.
You know, Jeff, we're going to get to Romans, wrap up chapter 1 and get into chapter 2, but a couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of being at the AFA board meeting, the end of summer board meeting, and, you know, after Dan Celia passed away, Tim Wildman called and asked me if I would pray about being on the board. And, you know, Dan Celia went to be with the Lord, and one of the greatest honors of my life, my goodness, to be on the AFA board. But hearing the reports of all that God does through this ministry, it really is amazing. And I want to say that as we get into Romans, because, you know, with the news, we hear a lot of bad news and things like that. But my goodness, there's a lot to praise God for. And the evangelism, the biblical worldview, all that God does. And then you, and this is as good a time as any, tell us a little bit about The Stand and The Stand Radio that you do. But
yeah.
The good news is, folks, God is at work reaching lives, and the American Family Radio Network and the American Family Association, glory to God, that's
yes.
a huge tool in the Lord's hands.
I'm reminded of the truth. The Word of God does not return void, and the power of the media, different channels and opportunities to get into prisons, into cars, into homes, and all these places to reach people with the good news. It's a great, great honor to be here. And to have things like the foundation to help us continue. We'll continue mm-hmm. with our study of the book of Romans in chapter 1 in just a few moments. Keep listening to Exploring the Word.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, We Shout Life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Lead on, Good Shepherd. Praise God. Aren't you glad, folks, that if you're a born-again believer, you belong to the one the Bible calls the chief shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the one who laid down his life for the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, along here with Jeff Shambly. We're in Romans, and we're going to read, we'll pick it up about verse 23. Jeff, I've heard my share of preaching over the years, being a Christian about 35 years. But I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul, he lays the cards on the table, doesn't he, about a depraved, fallen human race. And, I mean, just to read this, folks, this is some pretty hard truth he sets before us.
It is. And opening the show, you know, we give a verse opening the show, and I'm looking at this section, Alex, and I'm thinking, what am I going to say? Because it's all terrible. I mean, because we're talking, the subject of the section is the wrath of God being revealed and the results of that. And part of the results are that people who suppress the truth and unrighteousness think that they are wise, but they become fools. And
so, I'm so glad you would bring that up. What we're doing, folks, a lot of times, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes before showtime, I'll be staring at the Bible and I want to find something inspirational.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus will never leave you or forsake you.
Right.
And I was looking at Romans 1 and 2, and I'm like, okay, there is nothing like peppy in here. It is but we need to hear it.
Yes.
I mean, we need. Just like a good doctor, and I want to say, folks, the Lord himself in his word or a faithful minister, we are duty-bound to tell people the truth. And just like a doctor is obligated, if the patient has a terminal illness, the doctor better tell them about how they can administer the cure. Mm. And that's how it is with sin and the state of our soul. Romans 1:23, speaking of people that embrace sin rather than salvation, verse 23, they change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, what did they do? Verse 25, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And Jeff, when I see, you know, people that want to be felines and furries and Furbies, all right, I've said it many times. Here is all of history summarized almost. Satan could not kill God. So he has tried to harm and debase and devalue the ones made in God's image. And I've got to believe that the devil is just laughing when human beings made in the image of God, rational human beings with a spirit and discernment, and Christ himself gave his life for our redemption. And when people engage in unspeakable debauchery, and immorality, and occultism, and paganism, and you know, every means by which human beings have been devalued and dehumanized, that's ungodly. It's part of Satan's plan. And one of the reasons, let me just say, one of the reasons that we are against pornography, because pornography demeans and dehumanizes people. Drugs and intoxication dehumanize people. Homosexuality and transgenderism is contrary to human dignity. And anything that robs people of their human identity, worth, and human dignity, that's ungodly, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, there is... that's where sin takes us when we suppress the truth, when we turn our back on God and we willingly refuse Him, then that's the natural course of our sinful nature. And it all begins with substituting something for God. And when He's talking about here, you know, they replaced the image of God for corruptible man and for things that are created. And I'm thinking, you know, there's something threatening about a holy God to a natural man. And the natural tendency is to replace it with something that can be managed. So you choose an idol. You choose something that you can control that still allows you to be fully in charge, but still satisfies that religious bent that you have. And so that's what idolatry does, and that's the first step towards some of this debauchery that we see in this chapter.
Very sobering words in verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. That means that which is inappropriate. And really, the wording there means abominable. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or suitable, M-E-E-T. See, they're doing that which is unsuitable, but in their bodies, in disease and depression and death, and if they don't repent, damnation, that's the suitable result of this sinful lifestyle. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, now this... Every line of every one of these verses just begs for comment, but let me read on. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters. I can't believe that this is in here, but it is, that the human heart would do this. Haters of God. Can you believe hating the one who gave you life and offers you salvation? But it says, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, that means cannot be satisfied, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. Wow. What do we say to all this, Jeff? I mean, it's a lot to get our mind around, isn't it?
You know, it seems that there is a progression here that begins with idolatry, and then it comes very, very quickly into the sexual area. And right away, we see in verses 26 and 27 an attack on God's natural creation, the created order. So in creation, in Genesis, we have male and female, we have marriage, we have monogamy, we have the sexual union for procreation, for becoming one flesh in the context of marriage. And right away, one of the first things that sinful men do is attack that, and then do away with marriage, do away with what is normal and natural. And then all of this perversion comes in. And then you have all of the degradation of society. When you get into backbiters, boasters, disobedient to parents, I mean, everything at that point falls apart. Society itself begins to fall apart. So it seems there's some sort of a progression as you go through some of these.
Well, you know, in one of my other Bibles, I made an outline of this, and I said that there was the emotional, the moral, the spiritual. All right, like we said yesterday, beginning to be ungrateful, not thankful to God, and then sexual immorality, then paganism and idolatry. And ultimately, if such sins are not repented from, if salvation is not received, there's spiritual condemnation, separation from God. And folks, nowadays, you know, we've had people, I mean, I've had emails, people will email in and they'll say, you know, you and Bert, you know, just live and let live, let people do what they want to do. Well, you know, obviously, a person's lifestyle, they'll give an account to God, not us. We are not the judge, but God's word certainly is capable of judging all of us, and we'll all face God one day. But part of the reason that we as Christians and certainly as ministers, we are duty-bound to read God's word, proclaim what it says, because we're talking about the souls of people here. And let me just say, there's no sin or nothing this world has to offer that is worth losing your soul over. You know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, besetting sins. And the Bible says there's no temptation that has come upon you, but such as is common to man. Look, fallen, sinful people, we have this bent toward iniquity. But let me just say, folks, there is no sin worth going to hell over.
Yeah,
there just isn't.
And you can't dabble in it. You can't say, look, I'm going to ignore the things of God, but I'm not going to go that deep into sin. It never goes that way. I mean, the people who ended up in such perversion never suspected they would end up there when they simply weren't thankful or they suppressed the truth of God. But sin, what's the old saying, Alex? Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will always do that thing to you, and that's why it's so deadly and so dangerous. And so I echo what you said. I mean, today is the day of salvation. You know, turn to Christ. I mean, he is the healer, the restorer, the one who gives us salvation. And, you know, that's really the remedy to all of these things.
Well, in verse 26, I've got the King James here. It talks about vile, V-I-L-E. Mm-hmm. In the original language, it means dishonorable, vile affections. And it goes on and it clearly talks about lesbianism and homosexuality. And in verse 27, it says unseemly. In other words, unspeakably immoral. And it does talk about, and Jeff, listen, I'm old enough to remember in the late 80s, and I'm going to be very frank with you, AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. I don't know if you remember this, folks, but some of you will remember that originally it was called GRIDS, gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. Now, there were a number of ministers that were very much on the hot seat because they were talking about the fact that they said, hey, look, if you do things that are sexually immoral, there are STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, of course, the worst of which is AIDS, you know. And people, I remember, oh my goodness, there were so many talking heads in the media that said, oh, that's cruel, you know, who are you to pass judgment? But here's the thing. If you abuse alcohol, you might wind up with cirrhosis of the liver. If you engage in sexual immorality, yes, God loves you. Yes, you can be born again and saved. But there is, as verse 27 says, a recompense. Does God love you? Yes. Will God save you and forgive you? Of course, if you turn to Him. But that doesn't mean you're going to escape the physical repercussions of sin. And so when Paul so forcefully, you know, lays out these things, it's because God loves you. Just, you know, if you abuse tobacco, does God love you? He surely does, but you might get lung cancer, you know? There's another, like in verse 28 and 30, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Isn't that something, Jeff? If somebody is bent on pushing God out of their mind, listen, if you don't want to have God in your life, He will leave you alone. But that's a frightening prospect, isn't it?
Yeah, because you don't realize what you're losing. I mean, when God gives your mind over, you know, by what way do you evaluate your thinking? But here's the thing, Alex, and even over in verse 32, Paul says, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, you know, that those who do such things are deserving of death, there is a knowledge that they retain in their conscience that, yes, they may be suppressing the knowledge of God or refusing to retain that, but deep in their conscience, it is still active, and they do realize that what they're doing is deserving of sin, of death, rather. And I think that's a mercy of God, even in this condition.
Yeah, and folks, we could do a whole show on one word in verse 28. All right, people that are, you know, immoral, unthankful, blasphemous, they're saying that which is wrong is right. It's like in Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5 says, woe to them who call good evil and evil good. I mean, we've got people today, you know, they're saying that homosexual marriage is every bit as equal to heterosexual monogamy. Well, that's false. They're saying that a child doesn't need a mother and a father. That is false. They're saying that a male can turn into a female. That is false. Okay. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, the word reprobate there, Jeff, I used to hear my grandmother, you know, there'd be something bad on TV, and she would say, that old reprobate.
Yeah.
But that's just not some slang word. It in the Greek means depraved, a mind that no longer has the ability to determine true and false, to discern between immoral versus righteous. God let them go, gave them up. And Jeff, I just think this is frightening to think about. Folks, you don't want to lose the ability to determine what is right versus wrong. And I want to say this too, because we're fallen, the only way we can even know what truth is by the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
May God forbid that people or even our nation lose the ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. The phone number for your calls is 1-888-589-8840. Give us a call, 1-888-589-8840.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
When money takes a place that it was never intended to take, competing with first position in our lives, taken out of God's original context, our goal is to make sure that money stays in its proper context as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to help you do that as we look through the lens of Scripture at the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. And so let's talk about it.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
Can you be gay and Christian? What if you genuinely feel like you're trapped in the wrong body? Did God make you this way? Is change even possible?
Dr. Michael Brown.
Countless people ask me these very same questions. Some of them quite desperate. Many of them in tears.
Would you be ready to give a godly answer?
Each one represents a person or family member or loved one who's struggling deeply with their core identity.
Satan wants to deceive and destroy God's truth.
So we know that what this gay affirming agenda within the church is doing is it's fragmenting Scripture, it's dumbing down the Bible.
And infiltrate the church with his lies. In His Image clearly and compassionately presents God's truth through Bible teaching, science, and the testimonies of those who know both sides.
My dad walked in the door and he said, Denise, I want to talk with you. And the first words out of his mouth were, I want to become a woman.
Get the 2-DVD set at resources.afa.net. resources.afa.net.
Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He did right in the sight of the Lord. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Josiah's ascendancy to the throne in Judah followed 57 years of wicked monarchical rule. His grandfather was Manasseh. He reigned in Judah 55 years. The scripture records him as one of the most wicked kings in Judah's history. Manasseh's son, Amon, followed him as Judah's king. He was wicked too, just like his daddy. He reigned 2 years in Judah. Then comes Josiah. Though he was Amon's son and Manasseh's grandson, he charted a different path. No matter how wicked your family history may be, that doesn't dictate your destiny. Like Josiah, chart a new path.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
And we do hope you'll check out that Facebook page. We are just inching up on 10,000, and so help us do that by checking out the Facebook page. Welcome back to Exploring the Word with Alex McFarland and Jeff Shambly. Let's go to the phone lines, and let's begin in Arkansas with J.W. Hi, J.W. Welcome to the program.
Yes. You know, and I know, that Sam's been here for a long time. 28 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I wasn't thinking about it. It just happened. The Holy Spirit fell on me, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I never wanted to be a man, never wanted to be a woman. I'm just a man. I didn't want to be a Christian, but I am because I believe Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I gave my life to Him because it's the only way. The only way. Amen, amen.
Amen. It's very good.
Well said.
Yeah, great testimony. Let's go to Jody, who's calling in from Texas today. Hi, Jody. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello.
Yes, you're on. Go ahead.
I just have a question about the book of Job. I've heard a couple of ministers say that the book of Job is the oldest book of the Bible. And I was wondering, do you know how that was determined?
Great question. By the way, if you go to the Bible Museum in Washington, there's a lot of information about this. All right, the events that took place in the book of Job, and by the way, next summer I'll be teaching the book of Job at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center in Western North Carolina. But even though the first five books in the Bible are written by Moses, it's called the Pentateuch, as in the prefix P-E-N-T means five. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, but the events that take place in the book of Job were before the birth of Moses. Now, Job comes later in the Old Testament, you know, right after the book of Esther. But while... you know, the first five books chronologically are in the Bible first, what it means is the events that took place in the book of Job were before the life of Moses. Am I saying that clearly enough, Jeff?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yes.
But I do love the book of Job, really, and there's a lot that we learn from the book of Job about the spiritual warfare that the world is in, and sin, and what we call the problem of evil. I'll be talking about that. But while we're mentioning Job, this is amazing, folks. In verse 25 and 26, this is from the oldest part of the Old Testament. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he will stand on the earth at the latter day, the last day. And though after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." This is amazing. The oldest part of the Old Testament, and Job didn't have a fraction of the revelation that you and I have been so blessed to receive, but he seemed to know that there was a Redeemer, a Savior, a return. He's going to stand on the earth.
There's going to be a judgment day, the last day. And even though death and decomposition, there's going to be a resurrection body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That's just amazing, yeah. Isn't it? A volume of salvation truth in the oldest book of the Old Testament, the book of Job, chapter 19.
Well, that's good. And that's a great statement of faith that we see in the book of Job. Let me give you the phone number once again to be on the air with us. It's 1-888-589-8840. 1-888-589-8840. Let's go to Georgia and welcome Pam to the program. Hello, Pam. Welcome.
Hi. Actually, I moved from Georgia. I'm now in North Carolina.
Okay. Very good. We'll still talk to you.
I have two things for you. I want to tell you how much you meant in my life for the past 3 years. We lost two family members in 1 year, and your station was a tremendous blessing. Mm.
Blessings to you.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow. Now, this is another thing. I've got such a testimony. I promise it's quick. I have an older son that's 44. We've been to several Baptist churches in different areas. One of the church's children made fun of him when he was younger, so he's turned his back on all Christians. He's living a gay lifestyle, and I can't do a thing about it. But the only thing that God is impressed upon me is to start a prayer group at our church, because the very basic thing for us to do is pray, period.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. So, well, I'm concerned. He's showing signs of some sort of disease, and, you know, all I can do is love him unconditionally, because God's got this.
Amen. You know what? I've said that few things are as powerful as the prayers of a godly mother. And so you just keep on. Jeff, I've interviewed a lot of families where there were prodigals, but I've also interviewed hundreds of families where the prodigals came home. And I think about Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Now, from the training up of a child to the when they are old, they will not depart from it, very often there's a long, you know, dry spell, or maybe a spell of the child has wandered away. But we will pray. And, you know, ma'am, I commend you for praying. But very often I'll say this, you know, pray, you know, Father, keep them alive physically till they could be born spiritually.
Mm. Yeah.
And I encourage you, and getting together with others and agreeing in prayer together, that's a very powerful thing.
John Newton said, I have never despaired for any man since God saved me. And so as long as he is breathing, as long as you are praying, there is hope. And so, Pam, thank you for calling in and sharing that with us today. Let's go to the state of Alabama. Jimmy, you're on Exploring the Word. Hello.
How you guys doing? Y'all make my day, man. I'm going to tell you, y'all make me. I smile every time I hear y'all.
Glory to God.
My question is, a guy the other day called in about indigenous people that probably hasn't heard the Word of God. Well, I just wanted to ask about Noah's Day, because there was an estimated of 8 to 10 billion people in Noah's Day, and I'm just trying to figure out how not one didn't believe in God except for Noah and his family.
Yeah.
By the way, that's a great question, and yesterday I mentioned a book by Don Richardson. Brent Austin helped me out with the author's name, but it's a book called Eternity in Their Hearts, and that's reference to Ecclesiastes 3:11 that says, you know, God has put eternity in our heart. In the heart of every human being, there is a knowledge of God. Now, let's remember, Noah worked on this ark for 120 years. That's a long space of grace to give people the opportunity to repent. You know, Jeff, just this morning I was teaching a college class, and a student was asking, you know, they were Christian, but they were saying, you know, as Israel went into the land, you know, God told Israel, you know, fight these Philistines and wipe out these Canaanites. You know, what about that? And I said, well, let's remember, Israel was occupying their land over a period of 420 years. And I want to say this, just as the Gentile pagan nations, they definitely knew about the God of Israel, because, you know, so many nations wanted to capture the Ark of the Covenant. I believe people definitely knew about Noah, Here's Noah building a boat for a century and a fifth, 120 years. And it had not rained. Because let's remember, the majority of the water, there was water that fell from above, but the foundations of the great deep broke loose. And a lot of the water for the global flood came from the water tables and the aquifers beneath the Earth's crust. And that's why we have the Grand Canyon, the Paladura Canyon. There's canyons just like our Grand Canyon over in Scotland. The crust of the Earth broke loose and water came up. Now, here's my point. Certainly, news got out about this guy that was building an ark for a flood, whatever that means, and rain that had never happened yet. And so people knew, but I would say this. People asked Jeff, how did folks in the Old Testament era get saved? They responded to the revelation of God. Now, there is the witness of conscience. You know, the Old Testament wasn't completed, certainly at the time of Noah. But there was the knowledge of God, our Creator, God, our Judge. Someday there's going to be a Messiah. But there was belief in the Messiah that would come. Now, we look back and believe in the Messiah that did come, Jesus. Same Messiah, same kind of faith, just two different sides of the cross.
Yeah.
Here's the thing we know, and I'm going to throw it to you, Jeff. I don't know. I don't know the degree that the people in Noah's day had of knowledge of God, but I know God is just. God is merciful. People ask me, is God just? Well, yes, he's not only just, but he's merciful. And somehow, some way, there was a degree of revelation, and the people would be judged by the response they gave to the amount of knowledge they had. But God doesn't just create souls to throw them into hell with no recourse. I believe all people that have ever lived have some opportunity to turn to God. But one last thing, Jeff, and I'll throw it back to you. Be careful, folks, if you put more stock in the deservedness of man rather than the holiness of God, because that could be an idol.
Amen. Amen. Good. Yeah, I think, you know, looking back at the chapter in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, that the Lord saw that the intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. I mean, the depth of depravity that was going on in the world at that time, you and I can't imagine. And we do know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so in that 120 years when he's building this ark, it is an object lesson. It's a living sermon to everybody who sees that. And so, like you said, there was revelation of some kind, and we just trust the Lord that that he is just in all he does. All right, let's go to Texas and welcome Donna to the program. Hello, Donna. You're on Exploring the Word.
Hi. Hi, how are you guys?
Doing great.
Good. Welcome.
Good, good. I have a friend who believes that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you die, on the other side, you get a second chance to do that. Because with so many people in the world, there's no way that all could be evangelized. Now, where in the Bible can I point him to?
Well, I would say tell them about Hebrews 9:27, because it says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And I want to say categorically, there is no second chance. I've heard it too, Jeff. People said, well, you know, I've heard people say that after death, you know, this one or that one gets a second chance, but I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. You know, the opportunity to make a decision about salvation is only in this life.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I would say, and Jeff, I'll throw it to you, people often say, but there's so many people. You know, what's interesting is, you know, Titus 2:11 talks about the fact that the gospel of salvation, and by the way, scholars tell us
that Titus was written about 37 years after the cross. Now, in under 40 years after Jesus had risen, as far as we know, the entire civilized world had heard about Jesus. In fact, the first country to be like fully evangelized, they believe, was Syria, which Syria now is not very Christian at all. But here's the thing, people obsess, they'll say, oh, but there's so many people. Well, you know, you and I, none of us will ever be asked to give an account for how do you think so-and-so got saved on the other side of the planet? The only person that we can authoritatively speak about their response to the gospel is ourselves. You know, but what Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I am?
Yes.
And that is the question, is that what have we done with Jesus? That's really the salient point, isn't it, Jeff?
It is. I'm reminded of the story of rich man and Lazarus. And so when the rich man is in hell, he is calling out to Abraham to send someone back, because he said, if someone rises from the dead, surely my family will believe and they won't come to this place. And the response is startling. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear them, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. We can't underestimate the power of the Word of God and the message of the gospel to save people in this life. And so they have everything that they need when they hear the gospel to be saved. And, you know, the Bible doesn't allow for any kind of a purgatory, any kind of a purging of sins after death. That's not a biblical idea. But great question. Let's go to William for a final question today. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello. Thank you. My question is about the building of the first temple. I know it's apocryphal, but the idea that Solomon had the help of demons to build the first temple, I was wondering if you could point to some maybe biblical evidence that, that...
Thank you, William. Let's let Alex answer that very quickly.
Yeah, that is not biblical. David gathered the building materials, but David was a man of war. Solomon, the land had peace. The idea, oh my goodness, this is almost blasphemous to think of, that Beelzebub worked for Solomon, absolutely unbiblical, fanciful, even nearly blasphemous idea.
Yeah. All right. Good show today, Alex. We'll pick it up with more from the book of Romans tomorrow. And you're still in Colorado. You'll be with us?
Yes, I'll be there. And thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. Jeff Shambly, thank you for joining in. Thank you. Hey, folks, tell somebody about the American Family Radio Network and Exploring the Word. But most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.